Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a great start to your day out there. Thanks for kicking off your Tuesday with us. We got some fun stuff lined up for you in this hour. We're going to get into a little bit later some weird food news. We're talking Doritos, pizza Cheetos, plenty of other things, and a bunch of other fun stuff that we got lined up in this hour. But first, we kick off with some entertainment news and a story that I encourage you to check out from our friends at Wisconsin Public Radio. I can go to WPR.org to find Evan Casey's great article on Marissa Bodie.
Oh, yes, yes.
Marissa is the first actor to use a wheelchair in real life to play the character Nessarosa in Wicked.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, when Marissa was 12 years old, her mom surprised her with tickets to see Wicked in Madison. The beautiful Overture Center in Madison, one of the top five places I would love to perform here in Wisconsin. It was the first time she had ever seen a person in a wheelchair performing in a play or a musical or anything like that. And just a year before that, Marissa was in a car crash that left her paralyzed from the waist down. Around 10 years later, she auditioned for the part of Nessarosa in the film adaptation of Wicked, and she got the part.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
And in doing so, became the first actor to use a wheelchair to play the character. And part of the reason we like to bring this up, and the reason the article was in WPR, is she is from Mazomani. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It is right in Dane County. I know I've even been through it. She's also been a fan of The Wizard of Oz since she was like five. She's been watching it since she was a kid, so pretty understanding that she would get into Wicked, considering that and everything. It is a great article. I'm not going to read it all for you, but I encourage you to check it out. Everybody, you can find it at WPR.org. She has used her role to show that anything is possible. In a video she posted on TikTok, she called out people being rude and hateful to characters' disabilities. And while she has not brought this up, her getting this role and the work that she has done in this, because she is blowing people away. Her acting is incredible. She is doing and only going to get better at this, too. That's one thing. When I see young actors like her, I can't help but think, well, they're probably only going to get better at this, you know?
Well, because she hasn't been in I don't want to say her very first role, but almost her very first role. And it's a big one.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's going to get a lot of attention because of this, as she should. She did a fantastic job.
Well, and, you know, I think about it, and I'm aging out of roles that I wanted to play, and I'm too young for other roles I want to play. And anytime I go into an audition, even ones that I do well in, I get kind of torn apart by my appearance and so many of these things. And that's me at my age as a man. You know, I can't imagine this young lady going into auditions and the lack of roles that are available for her and being in a wheelchair and stuff. And that's not necessarily roles that that doesn't mean necessarily that there aren't enough. It does mean that there aren't enough roles for people in wheelchairs, but even just roles that, well, we could see her in, even though the character doesn't traditionally have a wheelchair. Representation has many layers to it. This is one of them that we got to get better about. One thing that stands out to me, and one thing that has come up in the acting community with her performance, is, hey, why is she the first person in a wheelchair doing this role?
Because the character I'm sorry.
Why is she the first person who is actually in real life in a wheelchair playing the role in a wheelchair?
We're saying the same thing. Yes, that is a good question.
Yeah.
Why?
And I don't understand that. And it should happen more often. Now, this is one of the dicey things we get into in acting. It comes up a lot when we're talking about, any character really under the rainbow umbrella, especially in the early days of a lot of cinema, having people that weren't homosexual playing homosexual characters and stuff like that. This is something that is new to some people, but has been a part of my life since I got into acting. It's pretty hard to find a Italian, Jewish, Egyptian character. It doesn't happen very often. So oftentimes in life, I very rarely played a Jew. I very rarely played an Italian. I wouldn't want anybody to not be able to play some of those roles. What I would like to just see is the opportunity given to these actors more often. I am not at all, I don't think I'm alone in this, and I've talked to enough people in the guild to feel like it's pretty, you know, it's a pretty much common feeling. Let the best actor get the role. Let the most talented actor get the role. That's certainly something that most of us feel. At the same time, there needs to be a little bit of a give to that. Well, both these actors are really solid at this role, but this person actually is this. So you know what? Boom, they got the role.
Yeah.
I think it can be, you can have a good middle ground to this.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that as well, because you shouldn't just get the role because you are X or Y or Z, but yeah, I think that those things should be taken into consideration.
And be on the remember that name, Marissa Bodie, everybody, because you are going to be hearing a lot from that young lady.
Oh yeah, she did a great job. Yeah. Can't wait to see what she does next.
And we want to get into this one, stars and their real names. And this is making the rounds because, and it feels like this happens every once in a while. It seemed to happen when I was a kid. But there's a lot of people freaking out that Whoopi Goldberg's name is not Whoopi Goldberg. I found this interesting. There are a lot of stars that do this, but Whoopi Goldberg shared her testimony to this. Quote, I was raised and you never asked anybody how they were voting. I would say, and it's similar to for actors in their real name, that you wouldn't ask what an actor's real name is.
Right, because they would prefer some anonymity in real life.
And I think that's understandable. We were just talking about this a little bit with filters and everything. And with that, I'm kind of like dragging it out a little bit, but her real name is Karen Elaine Johnson.
Karen.
C-A-R-Y-N, it's spelled.
Karen. I would never have guessed that.
No. And I think it's interesting. I'm curious of where the name comes from. Whoopi comes from. Whoopi Goldberg's ancestors are from Florida and New York. Her great great grandparents were among the few African Americans who received land in Florida after the Civil War. She chose the stage name Whoopi because her colleagues called her that as a nickname, but also that this is something that she believed her ancestors said when they got this land. There's a couple of tie-ins for it for her. Okay. Now, I have not been able to find out why Goldberg, why that name. I have heard...
Sounds good together.
Yeah, it does. She also took the last name Goldberg from a Jewish ancestor, it's said, but I haven't actually heard her say that. I've just seen that in an article, so I don't want to associate that to her without hearing her say it.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
But what it's kind of got me going down a list of actors who don't use their real names. Mm-hmm. Like Reese Witherspoon's real name is Laura Jean Reese Witherspoon.
Okay.
So she just kind of took out part
just
of her
took
name.
Part of it, yeah. Which is, I think, far more common.
Yeah. Sigourney Weaver is Suzanne Alexandra Weaver. So it just kind of starts the same, Suzanne Sigourney, but just a little bit different. Let's see here. Diane Keaton's real name is Diane Hall. Interesting. Meg Ryan's name is Margaret Mary Emily Ann Hira.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Demi Moore, Demetria Jean Gynas. Wow. Demetria. That is a beautiful name. That is a beautiful name. Natalie Portman. Netta Lee Hirschlang. That is so Jewish. That is so... Man, is that a Jew. I love that name, but Netta-Lee is very traditional. That's a good one. Winona Ryder. Winona Laura Hurwitz.
Hurwitz. Mm-hmm. And obviously some of these were chosen so that they would be easy to... pronounce or say or spell or recognizable.
Yeah, and I'm choosing a lot of the actors I am for a reason. I'll get to in a second. Emma Stone, Emily Stone. Okay, not a huge change up there, really.
No, easy. Almost like a nickname.
And going a little farther back, but still noteworthy, Helen Mirren, Helen Lydia Mirovna. And she spells Helen the same, though. the first name. And it's interesting to see people choose their first, the same first name. I think that Jon Stewart did this as well. There's a couple of them, but most of these actors you're seeing, oh, I wanted to get in Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel's real name, Mark Sinclair.
Mark Sinclair.
Perfect. That's great. Oh, I'd love to see that is an him just with Mark Sinclair in the top of the Fast and the Furious movies and stuff.
Yeah.
But most all of these actors, except for a couple of actors a little bit older and everything, this comes from an era of what Melissa was saying before. Of, well, we want names that are recognizable, names that will stay in people's minds, and most importantly, names that are easy to say and not ethnic. Don't want ethnic names. Mm. They want to stay away from that. No, oh, you can't have a Jewish last name. Oh, forbidding. You don't have a vowel at the end of your name. this has changed quite a bit. Actually in a really interesting amount of time, I think, because back in 08, I first joined the Screen Actors Guild and got my first agent. And right away, out the gate, my first 2-3 agents, change your last name. Change your last name. You know, it's too Middle Eastern, or it's too hard to pronounce, or et cetera, et cetera. And eventually, I got an agent out in California who told me, no, keep the name. That name makes you stand out. It doesn't sound like everybody else.
It's not Smith.
Right. And that's kind of where things have kind of stayed, where now you're going to see going forward a lot more actors, if they change their name, it's a little bit more of what have we talked about a couple of times already today, having a little bit of, you know, privacy. Yeah, unique. Well, privacy to yourself. So when you are signing your real name to things, maybe it doesn't catch the, you know, media or social media or something like that. Some of that. It gives a little more privacy. It's not a ton. People still know what you look like for the most part, but it gives some a bit of that.
Veneer.
Yeah. It's just kind of interesting. And I think it's interesting where it's going with this, where more and more people are being encouraged to keep their real names. And if they're changing it, it's more so just because they want to.
Well, I don't know if it's his real name, but I hope it is. Look at Benedict Cumberbatch.
Right. Yeah, perfect. The greatest example we'll ever have. Mary Stuart Masterson or some other of these names too. But Benedict Cumberbatch is so good, he can go by the name Benedict Cumberbatch. That's the one.
Yep.
Wrapping up, didn't want to touch on a local event coming up. You probably heard about it in Melissa's news break. Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. This teen play is coming up over at McMillan Friday from 2 to 4.
Awesome. I'm going to try to make it because I really want to see him do this.
You may see my mom and I there.
Oh, good.
My mom loves this movie, The Play. When I told her about it, she got so excited. And then when I told her that it was being done by a bunch of teens, she just said, we have to go. That was her first words, we have to go. There are going to be performances at 2 and 7 this Friday.
Awesome.
And you can catch them in their all-purpose room over at the Fine Arts Center at McMillan Library. You can find out more by going to McMillanLibrary.org. McMillan Library. Oh, no, it is .org. McMillanLibrary.org. Yep. Be sure to head on over there. Check out all the cool things that they are doing over at our local library, everybody. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot put into our library, and we want to make sure that we are taking advantage of it. Get on over there. Check out some of the cool things they got, like the cool Coloring Adult Club. Thursdays from 10 to 11 in their meeting room, and plenty of other great things. You got a lot of good bands going on, their concert series, and so many.
There's always something going on. There's Monday movies, on top of all of the books and resources that you can check out. Our library is fantastic.
McMillanLibrary.org. And looking at what's new on your small screen tonight, St. Denis Medical returns at 7 on NBC. After that, you'll have Night Court and Deal or No Deal. The Star Wars Skeleton Crew first season finale wraps up tonight on Disney Plus. You've also got Ari Schaefer having a new stand-up special on Netflix. And new episodes of Will Trent, High Potential, The Rookie, and that new TV show Doc. That a lot of people are talking about that one. A lot of people excited about that one.
Okay.
So all that is out there for you. And one more time, I want to encourage everybody to check out the WFHR newsletter. We've got a new edition coming up for you this Thursday.
Yep, it'll come out on Thursday at noon, and you can sign up at WFHR.com. All you have to do is enter your email address. If you want to, you can give us a little feedback on what you'd like to see or hear from your newsletter or here on our radio station. And we're always interested in hearing from you.
Appreciate all of you already signing up for it, and a big appreciation to our staff around here, especially our head editor, Melissa, and the great work you guys are doing on it. Thank you
for that. Well, and a great job on everybody for filling in for me last week. Appreciate it. Huge shout out to Chuck Gennaro for taking that on, and then everybody that contributes to the articles. Thank you all so much.
We'll take a time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us. Got an interesting one here, and I think we can have some fun and some just, you know, a safe place for everybody. It's a safe place, this one, this next segment. It seems like plant-based diets get more popular every year, but being a vegetarian or vegan isn't always exclusive status. Mm-hmm. In a new poll of vegetarians and vegans, 38% admit that they have, quote, cheated meals with meat. Vegetarians who still eat dairy and eggs and are more likely to admit to that than vegans who avoid all animal products. Mm-hmm. So there is a little bit of cheating going on. And I use the word cheating in parentheses. It isn't just a one-time thing. 47% of people on plant-based diets say that they rarely eat meat, maybe once or twice a year. 38% eat meat occasionally, so every few months. And 10% say that they eat meat often, about once a month. And 5% say that they eat meat very often, like once a week. And 33% of those people admit that they keep their meat indulgences a secret. And there are a few caveats. We'll get to those in a moment. But first, one thing I was trying to look up and I could not find enough any data really on is how much this changes if you grew up in a household that is vegan or vegetarian as opposed to choosing to do so later in life. Because I think that needs to be, you know, there needs to be some grace with this when it comes to, and I'm saying that for you yourself, those that are doing this. What other people think is what other people think. I wouldn't waste my time with that if I were you. Do your own thing. But if you do this, especially if you weren't raised with it and everything, I think it's understandable that your body was raised on meat and you still do crave it from time to time.
Well, and also I think it's worth looking into why you are choosing to be vegan or vegetarian. Is it because you were raised in a religion that controlled what you could eat? Or was it because your family was concerned about the environment and chose a plant-based diet for that reason? There's a big difference in choosing, you know, what you eat based on those things.
Gwyneth Paltrow. I chose because of celebrities. I thought it was a good idea at the time. Whatever your reasons are and everything, Melissa's got a really good point there.
Because some of those you would that's why I would hazard to guess for people who were raised in a religion that controlled what you could and could not eat, why you would do it in secret. Because there's a lot of shame and guilt built into that coercion to we're going to control what you eat. And so why they would choose to be secret about indulging.
Yeah, I think that I think it's something I don't know enough about. Honestly,
it's a good honest answer, James, and I appreciate you saying that.
If we could have a little bit more of that in life, by the way, mm-hmm. just as a side mm-hmm. note, it's okay to not know everything, everybody. It's okay to not always have an opinion. You don't have to have an opinion about everything, but I'll give mine because I'm a man. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. A few other caveats. Number one, if you're eating meat very often, you probably can't identify as a vegetarian or a vegan. You're just health conscious or a picky eater. Number two, this survey was conducted by a beef company called Lynn's Heritage Angus as part of their totally unbiased vegan and vegetarian meat craving report. You can't Sorry. Write, you really can't write this kind of comedy. You really can't.
let's do a survey to make all of those vegetarians and vegans look bad.
It doesn't really.
They're all secretly craving our beef.
Do they think that we can't look at the website address, or we're not going to like just take one, two steps and look at where this is coming
James,
from?
James, I mean, consider where people are choosing to get their news from. An entertainment source.
Yeah.
Now, for some people.
What if they're doing this for fun? Actually, could be a not a bad marketing idea. I could see if you were doing this tongue in cheek, but they really are doing this, and I don't know, maybe in a just in maybe more of a way of kind of like, hey, everybody does this, so I don't know.
I think it's far more worthwhile to just have an open conversation about what we're eating and what we're choosing to eat and how it affects our bodies and how it affects our planet.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a far more constructive conversation to have. And if you choose to have meatless meals, great. Why do we have to pigeonhole ourselves into being, well, I'm vegetarian, I'm vegan, I eat the paleo diet, I'm on the keto diet. I think it's all overblown.
Absolutely. And I'm never a fan of labeling. I really don't enjoy a lot of that. I think some of this comes from wanting to be seen. You know,
to be part of a group or to be, looked at for something. I guess that's all fair. But I personally feel that all those energies should be directed at the companies who produce our food and that they stop putting poison in them.
Mm-hmm. I would only add on to that, treating our farmers better.
Yeah.
And the people that are actually growing the food.
That are actually growing and making the food. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
And we have to wrap up because along with world records, Dolly Parton, and of course, fast food, we cover all of these. And we are going to talk a little bit about Taco Bell, Melissa. Just a trigger warning.
Thank you.
Taco Bell announced they're adding chicken nuggets to their menu.
Really?
They are available nationwide for a limited time. They're called crispy chicken nuggets, coated with a combination of breadcrumbs and tortilla chips. I guess that's what makes them, Latin. I don't know.
Taco Bell special? Like, what?
I don't know. They tested them in Minneapolis last year, then in Houston. They say they tried out more than 100 different dipping sauces and settled on 3. Bell sauce, made with tomatoes, chilies, and garlic, jalapeno honey mustard, and Hidden Valley Fire Ranch. The press release says the new nuggets are available while supplies last. So if you're curious, you can check these out.
I have thoughts.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because it's Taco Bell. But actually, I don't think this is a terrible idea had they put it in a taco.
Oh, there you go.
Breaded chicken is fantastic. I mean, yeah, they added tortilla chips to it. Kind of weird, but okay, whatever. Had they just done a like breaded chicken strips taco, you can't call it that, but something along those lines, I think that would have been more Taco Bell-esque. I mean, maybe they're just trying to appeal to kids eating chicken nuggets. Again, I go back to, can we just fix our food system in this country? Because it is broken.
Yeah. Well, and I think fast food is broken. Like, it used to be, okay, this is a burger place. Okay, this is a taco place. Okay, this is a, you know, and now everybody's doing everything. Like,
Because they want to have everybody come to them, which is not going to happen. You're going to have some people that like Taco Bell. You're going to have people that hate Taco Bell. They're going to have people that boycott Taco Bell because they stopped making the 7-layer burrito. It's just, you know, you can't appeal to everybody.
It's true.
And if you take the good things off your menu, well, then you're banned or blacklisted or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Hate you, Taco Bell.
I've done the same thing to Subway. You got rid of mozzarella. You got rid of mozzarella, Subway. You lost me. And I'm sure that they don't notice at all. I'm sure.
No, and I'm sure they don't care, you know, obviously.
Probably not.
Because
probably not.
They have not brought back the 7-layer burrito.
How do you get rid of one of the greatest cheeses ever? How do you... I don't know.
How do you get rid of one of the only, like, healthy things on your menu
that was
cheap?
These are the questions that need to be asked. We are not afraid to ask them.
We also acknowledge that we will never get answers.
Absolutely, 100%. We may be alone on an island on this one, but we're still going to do it. We will die on these hills. And we'll be back with more. We got our news and sports break. We're going to check in with our partners and come back. And we've got weird food news. We're talking that when we come back on the morning show here at WFHR.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They definitely...
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. I don't know if this is a good bumper song.
Why, just because you don't know where to come in?
I don't know where to come in. I don't know where to jump in. Yes, it's nothing to do with the song or the choice or anything like that. It is strictly about the user, the worker, the board here, the producer, if you will. Yeah.
But you know what? That's fair.
That's fair. We got some weird fun news for you with weird food news.
Weird food.
This is going to be a new ongoing segment, if it hasn't already been. I feel like this is a segment we've been doing, just didn't label it as one, but here we go. We got three weird food stories making the rounds.
Okay.
Doritos has been around since the 1960s, and they've always been triangular. But some people noticed that the Doritos UK Instagram account had an image of a square chip and said the shape of things to come.
Whoa.
Some people started freaking out, thinking that Doritos may never be the same again, but not everyone has an, getting ulcers from it or anything. quote, the official Wheat Thins account responded, square looks good on you. it isn't always done well, but I would say almost 85 to 90% clip when companies that aren't owned by the same company, like, interact on social media, it always seems to do well. Like it always seems to be just a fun way of just kind of like, hey, little look behind the curtain here. We're just human beings. We're just running businesses.
Tongue in cheek, having fun. It's usually a good back and forth.
Credit to all these social media accounts that are doing this right, because it feels like we don't credit them enough. The only time we talk about them ill is when they do something wrong.
Like get rid of the 7-layer burrito.
That kind of thing. Cheetos is releasing a new Cheetos Puff Cheese Pizza flavor. It says it tastes just like a slice from your favorite pizza shop. The new flavor will begin rolling out this week, or should be everywhere within a month.
I don't know about this.
Yeah.
I think the only pizza chip I want is a Pringle.
Those are good. I will say combos. The pizza combos, I used to love those.
Oh, yeah. Those are like the pretzels with cheese in them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are pretty good, too.
Man, I have not had a combo in forever. I used to practically live on those things. I hadn't thought about that. I got to get some of those. I haven't had some of those in a while.
The most place I see those most often is like the gas station, convenience stores.
Yeah, are they just not as popular anymore? I feel like I don't see them.
Oh, no. They're there. I see them.
Yeah, they got them.
I see them over there, right next to the Gardettos and the Chex Mix.
I feel like it should be like when, let's say as an example, they're not going anywhere. They're doing just fine. I'm sure. I don't have to look up their profit numbers. I'm sure that they're fine. But let's say that as an example, combos, we're making the last batch of combos. They got to tell us. They got like sometimes for the most part, I think those stories do pop up. But at the same time, I saw an article the other day that I put away for another day of burger joints that aren't around anymore. And I didn't even read the whole article. I just read a couple of them. I'm like, oh, I remember that. Oh, I remember that. Like, I feel like I didn't know when they went out of business, though. They just kind of went away.
Or the fact that when they closed the McDonald's in Iceland, the only McDonald's, they kept the last quarter pounder with cheese and fries, and they put it in the museum.
That's interesting.
they look the same.
Wow, that's interesting. The Valentine's Day Brock's. Thank you, Brock's. Will launch a new global version of its conversation hearts.
Oh, really?
They'll feature sentimental sayings from around the world, including more than 30 expressions in 13 different languages.
Oh, cool. I love this.
That is a magnificent idea. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. What a cool idea. Language is fun. Language is so I was gonna say language is so universal. Oh wow.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I'm done for the day, everybody. Maybe for good.
We're almost there, James. It's okay, you'll make it.
I brought this up before, and I bring it up from time to time because I'm really proud of him. But one of my cousins, Michael, is a linguist, and he's still working for our military, just more on the side, and I can't get too into that. But my aunt Sherry, who I love like crazy and who's out there listening, and I appreciate you, Aunt Cher. Her and I have been talking recently, and she shared some information with me about my cousin Michael, where he has met former Vice President Mike Pence recently and some other things. And Michael does a lot of great work when it comes to human trafficking. And stopping, putting an end to that. He's doing some great work on the front lines on that. But before that, he was doing plenty of other things with our military, going all over the world as a linguist. And from what I remember, a lot of this started for him just with a love of wanting to learn language. Mm-hmm. Right? You just never know where it can take you. So say, you know, there's some kids that for Valentine's Day, they're handing out, you know, these hearts and they see a different language. They look it up and they like it. Maybe that's, you know, starts a spark in their head or something like that. I'm using a bit of an extreme example, but I'm just using it as an example for all the different things that can happen just from seeing a different language.
Mm-hmm. And then also just the interconnectivity that it brings to us of this is, I don't know, something sweet you would say in India.
Mm-hmm.
That we now we're learning that, and that is so cool.
I think language is just fun too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just whether it's you know, learning a different word or even, you know, understanding a little bit more of English. Right. I think it's kind of fun. We're going to be understanding a little bit more English tomorrow when Phil Hartley joins us with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
Wicked awesome.
But this is one of the things that comes up with that, where every once in a while Phil will use a word that I just haven't thought of in a long time or I haven't heard in a long time, and it gets mm-hmm. me to want to not just look up what that word means, but where did it come from?
Yeah, exactly.
We've kind of grown out of it a bit, but a popular segment we used to do together all the time, whether it was Carl and I or Melissa and I, was kind of tracking down idioms and where did they come from and everything. I think it's one of my favorite things to do is, mm-hmm. you know, where did this come from? And looking up where it came from. And almost every time it involves language. Mm-hmm. And how, you know, over in Europe, we said something this way, and over here, it became this. It got adopted, but it just turned into something different.
Mm-hmm. Or it means something different. It's like the meaning changed, which is also cool.
Language is a lot of fun. I also think that it's something that we need to do, we could use to do a little bit better. And by that, I only mean words meaning what we all agreed they're going to mean. Like facts. You know, simple little things like that. I don't know.
Sure. I mean, that should mean what it means.
I also think that the conversation hearts, like, it's also noteworthy. These are still so popular.
Yeah. I love them.
I think that's cool. I think that's cool.
And I like them for more than, obviously, the way the candy tastes. Because mm-hmm. I can't say that I get them because of that.
Yeah. Much like the gum that you get in baseball card packs, you're not eating it for the flavor. It's more because it's there.
It's just a side effect of, you know, unlike the jokes on the Laffy Taffy containers, because both are excellent.
Yes, those are great. Those are great. I wonder, here's another interesting list for us, Melissa. Things that you eat, not because they taste good, but just because they're in front of you. You know? An interesting list. I imagine that that's got some amazing things on it.
We could have fun with that one.
We'll have to do that another time. But this is a fun one, and we want to hear about other weird, fun foods out there. Go ahead and let us know, everybody. Another thing I'm curious about, I feel pretty confident about this one, but I don't have kids in grade school or anything, so I don't want to just throw it out there. But I also think it's noteworthy the kids are still sharing Valentine cards and things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's cool. We've kind of changed so many things in society, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, just so much has evolved. We talked about this a lot in October with trick-or-treating and how much that has changed. I think it's kind of cool that this is still pretty much very similar to how it was when we were kids.
Mm-hmm. The kids exchange Valentine's in person. That's cool. That's fun.
It's fun. Let's go ahead and take a quick time out. When we come back, we've got this list. Are you sick of it? 97% of Americans are sick of something. We'll get into that in a moment when we come back on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you, taking you right to the top of the hour. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. It's been a fun show.
Mm-hmm.
We got an interesting list here. Are you sick and tired of fill in the blank? A poll of 2,000 Americans found 97% of us are sick and tired of one thing or another. And another 3% apparently feel about the state of the world. 14% think it's not a lost cause, but close to it. And 86% think that they are just there's so much to fix. How do we do it? Where do we begin? Here are the top five things we're tired of in 2025. Number one, misinformation.
Ooh, yes.
86% of people are tired of that. They're tired of it. They're tired of the biasness in news. They are tired of the not being able to believe everything the things that you hear.
And the rest of them aren't on social media.
Nicely done. Politics and government come up at 84%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's by design, though. They want us to be sick of it because then we stop paying attention.
Yep. A politician campaigns on this one cause. They campaign. It's the biggest thing in the world. As soon as they get into office, you never hear from it again.
Are you talking about grocery prices?
I you know what? We could use this most recent example, or we could go back to 1964 or 1977 or any year. It is that I'm not going to pick on current politicians for doing something that always has been always done. What I am going to say is that's on us. That's yep. I'm not going to get mad at a dog for being a dog. And I'm not going to get mad at the politician for being what they can get. They do what they can get away with.
Right. They're going to get elected however they can.
Vote them in need to hold them accountable. Yep. And that's the other part of this that needs to come up. Mm-hmm. Just because you voted for a person and they're not doing what you said, that doesn't mean you're wrong. It's okay.
If you want the rebate, you have to send in the receipt.
I mean, it's the follow-through that we
need to do.
Yeah, yeah. And I think if you do that, we might not be as sick of politics and government.
Quite possibly.
Violence and crime came in at 84% as well, just a right tie with politics and government.
And I'm just going to throw out there, really look into statistics, though, because in a lot of areas and places and historically, those things are down. They are.
Yeah. I think it would surprise a lot of people to know that your major cities here in the Midwest, near us and everything, Milwaukee, Madison, Chicago, all mm-hmm. seeing dips in crime. Yeah. What they are seeing a rise in is anti-Semitic behavior. They are seeing a rise in is in other categories, but you're just seeing what is going to catch people's eyes with the news breaks and everything. Crime this, crime that. Like that.
And well, we want to know about those things. That shouldn't be the only thing we want to know about.
Yep. You can do solid reporting, including more than just that. Yes. I feel like it's just going to sound, it's going to fall on deaf ears, but I mean it with every word I am. I think that Melissa's news breaks are a perfect example of this, where she gives you maybe a harsher story that happens in this area, while also tacking that on with other stories that are going on in this area. It isn't just labeled as, oh, this is this or this is that. She covers it all and brings it all to you. That's real reporting. That's what the news was our whole lives when we were when we were kids growing up. That's mm-hmm. they were able to do that. It wasn't mm-hmm. until the invention of the 24-hour news cycle that it felt like everything's got to be breaking news, everything's got to be sensationalized.
Well, and with that being said, though, we also need to put effort and my time and money into reporters and into being able to report on those things because it takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time to follow those stories, to hunt them down, to be able to report on things that aren't just the crime blotter.
And pay attention to where if you're reading from the Washington Post, who owns the Washington Post, mm-hmm. These kind of things. Social issues also came up on the list of being tired from that. And I'm all of these things.
wait. We're tired of hearing about social issues?
Yeah.
Who's tired about it? The people who have none?
Well, 81%. And I almost guarantee that 81% is filled with a lot of people that it doesn't affect. So they don't care. And that's an overall theme here, I think, of wanting to detach, of wanting to disengage. And that is
have that option.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you do this in where you need to. You need breaks from the news. You need breaks from, your life or something like that. That's mm-hmm. where, bringing in the release earlier and talking about that. And everybody deserves that. But at the same time, the most dangerous thing that can happen is for us to not care. And that's what's happening more and more. Mm-hmm. If you're a fan of a team, the worst thing that can happen if you own that team is the person not jumping online and complaining about the team, just not doing anything. Like, that's when the real danger comes in. And it's no different with politics or our environment or misinformation or violence and crime or social issues or any of these things. And to what Melissa said earlier, that's kind of what a lot of the powers that be want to have happen. They don't want mm-hmm. you to care. They don't want you to pay attention.
You to be sick of it because then you detach.
And if you're not paying attention, then you can't hold anybody accountable. And that's the last thing they want is to be held accountable when it's the first thing that they should have.
Mm-hmm. Because they work for us.
Yeah, yeah, and that can't be lost. And I think that we can help this on a personal level. You know, we can each individually kind of work on these things and make it better. If you're notice the things that we're tired of are also things that aren't, you know, we still that are almost always going to need to be worked on.
Well, right. And they're all interconnected. You're sick of hearing about crime. Well, let's look at social issues. Why are people turning to crime? Is it because they don't have enough money to buy food and pay their rent? Because wages haven't kept up with inflation and increases in what everything costs nowadays? You know, I mean, all of that is interconnected.
Yeah.
So you can't really get rid of, you can't get rid of it. Mm-hmm. Unless you actually address the problems versus let's just build more prisons and throw people in jail.
If you're tired of your room being a mess, it's not going to change anything if you just shut the door. Like you got to
shove it under the bed.
Yeah, you got to clean it. As my mother taught me many times.
Yeah, she keeps telling you, James.
I encourage you to care. That's I did. And speaking of caring, Chefs for Change is coming up in our good stories of the day. Want to mention that our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center have their Chefs for Change happening next month on February 27th at the Nakusa Community Center. Started Ooh. Talking about this yesterday over the weekend. It was announced that we were able to kind of hype this up and start talking about it. They got a great Facebook page. Encourage you to type in your search bar Chefs for Change or Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. Like those pages, subscribe to them, keep up to date on them, and we will meet you at this great event, Chefs for Change, happening at the Nakusa Community Center Thursday, February 27th at 5 o'clock as part of our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center.
Awesome.
Do want to remind everybody as well, our family center here in Wisconsin Rapids is hard at work doing some of the most vital work in our community, and they have your back. If mm-hmm. need be, we have our crisis line is available 24/7, 715-421-1511. That's 421-1511. You can find out more information by going to familyctr.org, familyctr.org. Also wanted to touch on just a couple of other events in our area. The our friends over at Tri-Norris Ski Park have their Nordic Day coming up this Saturday from 10 to 3.
Oh, yeah, that's the Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun time over at 1001 County Road O, right in Nakusa, just off mm-hmm. Highway 13, just a little ways from us here. Come out to the park to explore the trails for free. The inside trails will be marked for snowshoeing and or hiking. And if we have enough snow on the outer trails, going to be groomed for cross-country skiing.
Yeah, and the kids can try the Triad ski jumping session where they get to learn to ski jump, which is just so cool.
That is really cool. And I love the name of it. They try mm-hmm. it. That's a great name.
Try it at Tri-Norris Park.
Follow along on their Facebook page for updates. And you can also email them if you have any questions at trinorriswinterpark@gmail.com. trinorriswinterpark@gmail.com.
And they do strongly encourage pre-registration if you have kids that want to try the jumping sessions, just so that they have enough of everything.
Yeah. Getting into our schedule today, be sure to join us. We got a great one lined up for you. We will have, of course, a best of community stories. Melissa will be playing today.
I have no knowledge of that.
Oh, okay.
I think that's something we need to talk about off air.
Okay. All right. I'm just trying to promote the show. That's all. But we will have something good lined up for you in that hour. And from four to five today, be sure to join us for Midday Magazine. In part one, we're going to speak with our good friend, Promise Bakken, and she'll be joining us from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, good. Find out what's happening with our chamber.
And in part two, Realty Radio with David Farnborough. We'll be joined by him and talking to Realty in this area. David's got a couple of great topics for us lined up. A little bit later today at 7 o'clock, Wisconsin men's basketball hosting Ohio State Big Ten matchup and a chance for Greg Gard to get into an exclusive club when it comes to Wisconsin Badger head coaches. Be listening for that later today at 7 o'clock right here on WFHR. Looking forward to it. And as long as we're talking sports, we're talking WFHR, that means Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, where we have been the home of your Wisconsin Rafters since their inception. And get ready for another amazing summer at Historic Winter Field by attending their Hot Stove event.
That's coming up soon.
The annual Hot Stove event is this Saturday at the Hotel Mead from 6 to 9. And they got a fun night lined up. Join them to hear about from front office and the new front office members. Get an exclusive sneak peek at the 25 promotional schedule. Special presentation from our new field manager, Tom Zagalowski. He is going to be joining us, along with hitting coach from the 2016 championship team. Current coach in the Mets organization, Devin DeYoung, is going to be there.
Oh, wow.
Admission is $5 if you RSVP in advance, or $10 at the door. Season ticket holders, ticket package holders, and host families will receive free admission.
Excellent.
Tickets are limited, so RSVP today at northwoodsleague.com, northwoodsleague.com. Go ahead and get over there. Get your tickets for that great event.
Mm-hmm. And sounds like a fun time.
And we want to remind you as well that our Valentine's for Wisconsin Veterans is going on right now. You have until the end of the month to get this in. January 31st is the cutoff. Encourage you to write these letters and send them to Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, Attention Veterans Valentines, P.O. Box 7843, Madison, Wisconsin, 53707. We can get that address to you if need be. Just email us. You know, you can direct message us on our Facebook pages,
sure,
or email us info@WFHR.com.
It'll brighten their day.
You have a great day, Melissa.
You too, James.
Be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.